Praise God. Praise God, my brothers, my sisters. Thank you for tuning in. This is Spirit and Life. For those who joined us, this is a channel where God uses to speak to us his word. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 6, verse 63, that the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. You know, the flesh counts for nothing, but the spirit gives life. And it's just on this basis that we take time to study God's word with you alongside. And my name is Pastor Emmanuel Sommer. We've been studying about the call of God through the life of Abraham. And we've been drawing great lessons in it. And today we shall be looking at an interesting account of Hagar and Ishmael. And this is just one of those events that show a point of Abraham and Sarah where they wavered in their faith. I know the scriptures tell us that without wavering in his faith, Abraham was quickened. But I personally look at it as a point where they wavered in their faith, in their trust in God. And I believe that God will help us look at it and understand it more. So let us pray as we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship your holy name. We thank you for this morning. Thank you that you've given us the chance to honor your holy name, the chance to trust in you, the chance to depend on you, the chance to wait upon you, to know your word, indeed to be guided by you, O God. We know it's not easy to be consistent. It's not easy to follow through all that you've commanded us, O God. But I pray that your grace shall continue to strengthen us, O God. I thank you for my listener who is going to listen, that this word shall come from you, and indeed you shall give life to it, O God. You shall quicken our spirits to what you're saying, not of our own ability, but of your own grace, O God. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Yeah, so today we're going to read the scriptures from the book of Genesis, chapter 16. So the story of Hagar and Ishmael is found in two accounts, one in Genesis chapter 16, the whole of Genesis chapter 16, 1 to 16, and the second one is from Genesis chapter 21, from verse 8. And we'll try and see how we can correlate these two, and furthermore, and then we can try and draw some conclusions, you know, on what the Lord speaks to us in this through the scriptures. Yeah, so I will read from chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai his wife took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with her, and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Verse 6, "Your servant is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai ill-treated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I am running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." And the angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man, his hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. Verse 13, she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Verse 16, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael. So I want us to recollect on who Abraham at this point, what has happened in their life. Abraham was called by God to leave all his possessions, to leave his families, to his father's household, to leave everything that concerned his father's household. And he left when he was 75 years old. His wife was barren, was 65 years old. And they had stayed now in Canaan for 10 years. So at this point, Abraham was 85 and Sarah was 75. And, you know, they had received the promise that God will give them a son. God will give them, make them, you know, have many descendants. And after 10 years of waiting on God's promise, we can see that Sarai felt that, no, I mean, it's taken too long. God has taken too long. And on my part, I think I can help God. Maybe God's design for my life was, you know, was through my maidservant. You know, at this time, their culture was that, I mean, if a woman could not give birth, I mean, who was the wife, and she had a female servant, she could be able to give that female servant to her husband, and the female servant would raise children on her behalf. So those children will be named under her, but then it's more of like surrogacy, where someone offers to carry the pregnancy on your behalf. And so Sarai asked Abraham to take Hagar, as you know, and have children, because she considered that the Lord has kept me from having children. The Lord has kept me from having children. And you see, she shows us the temptation that we all of us will go through many times when God's answers have delayed, when God, you know, seems to have taken long. The biggest temptation that all of us have most times is to take things into our own hands. And this for sure becomes a source of conflict, not only for Sarai, but also Abraham, but also it brings a conflict to Hagar. And so we see that Abraham agreed to what Sarai said. I don't know why he agreed, but he should have still trusted God, because God, you know, promised him that, I mean, your descendants will be great, and I will, and your seed, you know, I will bless you and your seed. But what we see is that he accepts and Hagar conceives. And so we see, of course, the mistake of Hagar, in that once she became pregnant, by virtue of feeling that she was superior to her mistress, she begins to, you know, to despise her mistress, to show, I mean it's like more of a competition, and showing that she is better than Sarai. And of course, that creates a conflict. And this is what mostly happens, you know, whenever, you know, there's polygamous marriages, and where we can see that one wife or will feel less loved than the other, or the other might feel they are better than the other. So it creates this conflict, and thus Sarai goes and complains to Abram about it. And Abram tells her that, you know what, your servant is in your hands, and so do with her whatever you think best. And Sarah goes ahead and ill-treats Hagar. He treats her to the point that Hagar flees and runs away when she is pregnant. Remember, this is a pregnant woman running away into the desert. And as we've said before in a previous video, is that many times whenever we face challenges, most of our reactions is always either to fear or to run away, you know, or to fight. And Hagar is in a situation where she cannot fight. She is a slave, you know, and slaves had no rights in those points. I mean, if a slave would even run away, if they are caught, they would have to be killed. And so she runs away. Yes, it was not in her choice. I don't think it was her choice to even, you know, raise to be given as a wife, because she had no choice at that point. But then, yes, she made the mistake of despising her mistress, which was her human nature. But then the mistreatment and the ill treatment makes her to run away. And you can imagine in the desert, she's there and she just found a spring, you know, in the desert. And she just, you know, sat down at the spring, and the angel of the Lord appears to her and calls Hagar, servant of Sarai, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" Can you imagine running away from someone who has mistreated you, who has ill-treated you, or being under mistreatment? And at times mistreatment can be so much that it's uncalled for. Yes, you are within your rights. You're within your rights to demand fair treatment, to demand, you know, right treatment. But we can see that God's mystery or God's answer to her was way different than what she expected. God, the angel of the Lord, tells her that, you know what? Go back to your mistress and submit to her. Why should Hagar go back to her mistress? To someone who has been ill-treating her? To someone who, you know, has harassed her to the point where she had to run away? I mean, is it that God did not see her injustice? The injustice that was being meted on her? Is it that God is silent to injustice? Is God silent when things are on our neck, when people choose to mistreat us, when people choose to put us down, when people choose to say hurtful words? Is it that God, you know, thought that is okay? But one thing that we see is that the angel tells her that go back to your mistress and submit to her. I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord said, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery." Let me just stop there. God, through the angel of the Lord, was keen that, and she knew that Sarah, that Hagar was having a child, a son of Abraham. And you see, because of God's covenant with Abraham, where he told him that he will make him a father of many nations, he recognizes the child in Hagar as a seed of Abraham. And later on, we see that in Genesis 17, you know, from verse... Genesis 17 verse 18, where Abraham cries to God and said, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." Then verse 19, "Yes," God said, "but your wife Sarai will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael," this is Genesis 18 verse 20, "I have heard you, and I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. So there's something that we see here that, you know, when Abraham chose and his wife to, you know, to get Ishmael, a son through Hagar. Yes, God, you know, God did not stop them, and God recognized the child. But you see, God still had his perfect will. And this is a distinction that we see when we try to understand God's will. You know, when we read Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says that it speaks that do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Then you shall be able to know what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, you know. So it tells us that there is a will of God that can come to us that is good, which is, I call that the good that God does to all men. I mean, he gives all men, whether righteous or unrighteous, he gives them rain, he gives them time, he gives them, you know, the sun, you know, he gives them seasons. So there is a part of God that he has granted to all, and he is not unfair with that. Then there is what is called the acceptable will. Now, acceptable will, I can give it a situation whereby, you know, you decide to, you meet a lady, you've not prayed over it, but then you feel that this is the person that you will want to marry. Sorry, this is the person that you want to marry, and you go ahead. So at that point, it was not God's will. But the moment that you decide to marry this person, then it becomes God's will. But it's not the perfect will of God. It becomes an acceptable will of God, in that God also accepts the will of man. I mean, he will not fight your will. He is willing to guide you. But if you choose otherwise, he will accept your decision. And so he accepts the will of, you know, of Abram and Sarai to have a child through Hagar. But you see, the difference between the acceptable will of God and the perfect will of God is that when you're in the acceptable will of God, you will have to pray for the blessing. The perfect will of God comes with a blessing already. You see, when Ishmael was born, and when he came through, Abraham had to pray that God will bless Ishmael. But for Isaac, who was the son of the covenant, who was the promise of God, God had already blessed the child even before the child came. So whenever we move to our own acceptable will, we will face challenges in all of them, both whether in the acceptable will or in the perfect will of God. But in one, we would have to keep asking for the blessing of God. And God is gracious. He is able to pour out his blessing. But if you wait on God for the perfect will, then you are able to know that you are on a blessed path. And so we see that God recognizes the acceptable will of Abram, Sarai, and through Hagar, and tells him that you are now a child and you will have a son, and you shall name him Ishmael. Now, Ishmael, the name means God hears. And God tells Hagar that the Lord has heard of your misery. I tell you, God had heard of the pains of Hagar. God had heard of her ill treatment. God had heard of her misery and saw her when she ran away and saw how she suffered under the hands of her mistress Sarai, and tells her that I have seen your suffering. I have heard of your misery. And now I've come to give you this word. Go back, submit. But there is a blessing in your obedience. There is a blessing in your obedience when you go back. It is in that place, in that, when you go back to that covenant, to that covenant, to that obedience, to the house of Abraham, there lies my blessing. and that there lies my increase. And he says there, you know, your son, you know, will grow. And he gives it, the prophecy of Ishmael, that he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone. I don't know. I know donkeys are difficult, but I can imagine a wild donkey. That means Ishmael was a man cut out, you know, for hard times. And so we see that he will grow in hostility. And you see Hagar recognizes and says that I now have seen the Lord who sees me. So Hagar experienced a revelation of God to her, that I have a God who sees me. Through her suffering, through what she went through, she had an experience of God. And maybe you're in a situation where things are tough. You're being mistreated where you are. And maybe you've even run away. That's an important point for you to seek God and find out what is God saying about this situation. God's answer might not be that you go back. God's answer might actually acknowledge, well, you did the right thing, stay away. But when you are sensitive and when you're willing to obey, God might tell you to go back and submit. That might sound painful. And for sure, it will look as if that God has not seen what you're going through. But you see, there is a place where, which is the perfect will of God, where you might face suffering while you're in that perfect will of God. You might face some fire. You might face some trials in that perfect will of God. And yet, that is the process. That is the journey that God wants to take you through. Joseph knew he was going to be king one day. I mean, he had the dream that he would be a ruler. But the process and the journey took him through a pit. It took him through, you know, Potiphar's house. It took him through prison before it took him to the palace. So there is a way that God at times will hide his blessings in trouble. He will hide testimonies in tests. He will hide victories in points where we are victims, where we are victimized. And so we see the victim here being asked to go back to the person who victimized her. Go back and submit. Go back to your mistress and submit to her. And you see, she goes back, she obeys, she hears the Lord. And her son is born, and Abraham names the name Ishmael that was given by the angel. So what I see from this is that when she went back, she must have told Abraham that the angel of the Lord met me. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse 4, that consider it pure joy when you face trials and temptations of many kinds. For the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Fast forward to 14 years later, and when Abraham is 100 years old and Ishmael is born, and the Bible says that Isaac is born to Abraham and Sarah, and when the child was weaned and, you know, Sarah did a festival, you know, for her, he saw that Ishmael was mocking Isaac. You see the conflict between the child of the covenant and the child of human effort already began. The hostility that was spoken about by the Lord already began. And Sarah at that point sees that and tells Abraham that, you know what, you need to send away Hagar and Ishmael. And of course, Abraham is troubled because Ishmael is his son. Yes, it is. He is his blood. I mean, even when they had the sign of the covenant, they were circumcised both on the same day. So this is his son, and he was distressed. And the Lord tells Abraham, listen to your wife. I mean, you listened the first time to get the child. Now listen again. Because it's not that Sarah was right in chasing away, but God was on the side of his covenant. So in this case, that it is Sarah who understood and who was standing with a covenant and with the perfect will of God. And this is why we see something unique about how we need to be as believers. It is our responsibility to find ourselves and to stay in the perfect will of God. It is key and it is critical that you find where is the perfect will of God and stay in it, persevere in it. God is still God of the mountains. He is still God in the valleys. He is still God in the hard times. He is still God in the good times. Whether we are in fire, he has promised to walk with us through the fire. When we pass through the fire, when we pass through the waters, that means we will not stay in the waters, we will not stay in the fire, but we shall be passing through. And so he sends Abram, and that is Genesis 21 from verse 8, you can read it. He sends Ishmael and Hagar away, and you see they go through the desert, and when they get to a place where the food was gone and the water was gone, then she puts the boy at a distance, and she says that I cannot watch the boy die. I cannot watch Ishmael die. And she sat nearby there and begins to sob. She began to cry. Now, the interesting thing we see in Genesis 21 verse 17 is that God heard the boy crying. Hagar was crying as well, but God did not hear Hagar crying. God heard Ishmael crying. Remember, Ishmael's name is God Hears. And so God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called Hagar. What is the matter, Hagar? Do not fear. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift him up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert, and he became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife from him from Egypt. So we see Ishmael was still covered by the Lord. As a son of Abraham, the Lord still had him. And the Lord hears. The Lord had Hagar when she cried, when she was sent, when she was pregnant. And again, when she was sent, when Isaac was born, the Lord still had the boy crying. And you see, God hears our cries. He hears our tears. He sees our tears. And is able to come and intervene for us. He's able to come and comfort us. And later on, we see Ishmael having 12 sons, who, as the Lord prophesied, there will be 12 rulers. And later on, when Abraham dies, it's Isaac and Ishmael who come to bury their father. So he carried on being a son, and he grew into a mighty nation. And so, as we reflect on a God who hears, I want us to pray and commit whatever it is that we are going through, that the Lord shall hear us. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you. I honor your name. I thank you for your word that you've spoken to us this morning, that you are a God who hears. And I thank you for my brother, my sister, who might be going through difficult times like Hagar and Ishmael, of being mistreated, of being sent away, of being abandoned, of being deserted, of being, you know, put through tough times that they don't understand, even while they know they are in your God's will, in your will, oh God. God, I pray for your comfort. I pray for your encouragement. I pray for your strength, oh God. I pray that you may meet them, oh God. You may see them. That your grace may abound in their lives. May they experience your peace. May they experience your comfort. May they see you as the God who sees. Thank you, and I honor you, God. Give them a word. Give them a promise. Give them an encouragement to take them through this tough time that they are facing. Give us that word to help us, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray and believe. Amen. Thank you, my brother, my sister. Thank you for watching. Please feel free to, as the Lord leads you, to subscribe, to share, to comment, post in your prayer requests, your concerns. I will be able to address them. And God willing, see you in the next video, today or tomorrow, as the Lord leads. God bless you. Bye.